It's been a wonderful reminder, I think, as we worshiped God of his faithfulness and throughout everything. And I want to look at some of that this morning. Throughout history, how Jesus has been faithful and how God has had a plan. And we're going to look at John 1, verses 1 to 14, if you have your Bibles. Some of the most exciting verses, I think, in the whole of Scripture. And I'm going to pray before we read God's word this morning. Lord God, I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you that it is truth, Lord, that it is a light to our feet, Lord God, to guide us. And Father, that it reminds us of your great love for us, that it reminds us of your fantastic, your amazing mercy and grace. And Lord Jesus, we pray that this morning you would be speaking into our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit, and you would be drawing us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So John 1, 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John, and he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the start of John's gospel, and it's dramatically different to the start of the other three gospels. If you look at Matthew, he kind of starts with a genealogy, kind of family tree, if you like, of Jesus, looking back, and then he talks about Mary and Joseph and Jesus' birth, as we would expect. And then Mark's gospel, that's a bit depressing really in some ways, because if we only had Mark's gospel, then we probably wouldn't celebrate Christmas. Because Mark just launches straight in. He talks about John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus. And then he talks about Jesus' baptism when Jesus was about 30. So we miss out a lot of Jesus' life. And it's right at the start of Jesus' ministry. And so we need to rely on the other Gospels, Matthew and Luke, in order to tell us about Jesus' birth. And Luke has this four-verse introduction, which is great, where he's addressing Theophilus, the bloke to which he's writing his Gospel. And then he goes on to talk about the birth of Jesus and the birth of John the Baptist. And he also he talks about the wise men, and we get a lot of detail in Luke's Gospel about the Christmas story. But then John's gospel, John does something entirely different with his gospel. He looks at things from an entirely different perspective. I imagine if someone was reading the whole Bible from start to finish for the first time, and they read from Genesis, and they read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then they read through all the books of the Old Testament, through Exodus, Deuteronomy, and then they read through Judges, and they read about Samuel, they read about David, they read the Psalms, and then they read right through all of the prophets, and then they got to the New Testament, and they read about Jesus' life in Matthew, and then in Mark, and then in Luke. And then they came to the beginning of John's Gospel, and they read, in the beginning, again. They might think, wait a minute, this is a bit familiar. You've gone all the way back to the start. You know, why have we come all this way? I'm not going to read the whole lot all over again. What's this all about? But John's account is an entirely different perspective on the creation of the world. And he says, in the beginning was the Word. And we're going to look at why John does this, why he starts his gospel like this and takes us right back to the beginning of time. And what John's revealing is he's revealing to us God's mission, which has been carried out through history. He's revealing to us God's plan for the world, which is still being carried out today. And in order to do this, he goes back to the beginning and he shows us that it's always been God's plan to send his Son. And he's saying in his gospel that the time is now, that the most exciting event in human history is about to take place, leading to the fulfillment of God's plan, his mission. And he's telling us about that in his gospel. We saw the video earlier showing all of the Old Testament and how it literally built up layer upon layer, God painting his picture throughout history. And it all built up and built up in order to form part of that picture of the manger. And I heard someone recently describe the Old Testament, and they said the whole Old Testament can be summed up in one word, and that word is promise. And that manger contained the promise of the whole Old Testament. It contained the Word, which became flesh and dwelt amongst us. It contained Jesus. And we're going to look at Jesus and just what that means. So John takes us back to the beginning, and he uses this word. He says the Word, which refers to Jesus. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Greek word which is used to define word is logos. And actually in our English translation, we lose a whole raft of meaning in our translation when we just say word, because that sounds a bit cold and peculiar and odd to us, really, because we think of a word written down in a book. But actually, this Greek term logos really means the reason or the meaning of things. And what John's saying is actually, he's saying what Jesus is what it's all about. He's what it's always been all about. Our word logic comes from this word logos. So, you know, you can see that link with reason and meaning. And John is saying to us, right at the beginning of his gospel, that it always has been about Jesus. And it always will be all about Jesus. And that our lives are all about Jesus. So I am here and you are here because of Jesus, whether we know it or not. But we woke up this morning because of Jesus, whether we realize it or not. And that we will be here tomorrow, or we won't be here tomorrow, because of Jesus. He says, he was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were created. And Colossians 1:16 tells us that all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So every single one of us were created for Jesus. And that might sound a bit odd if you don't know him, until you realize why, and we realize what he did for us. John 1:1 says, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And our God is three persons in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's really hard to understand and really hard to explain. And I don't really understand it fully or even really all that much at all. But that isn't surprising, since it's God that we're trying to comprehend. But the Bible reveals that God was three persons, three individual persons who relate to one another and who are one with each other, completely one with one another at the same time. And what this means is that throughout eternity, in the beginning, before anything was created even, before the world was created, looking right back, we had the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Father loved his Son. And the Son loved the Father. And the Holy Spirit loved the Father and the Son. And they were in this incredible, loving relationship throughout all eternity. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this amazing relationship overflowed into the creation of the world. This is how and why God is love. God can be love because love has always existed between the three people in the Trinity. Because love has always been part of his nature. And when he created the world in this overflow of his love, he created us to be a special part of creation. He created us to be part of that loving relationship with him. God didn't need to make us in order to worship him. The most glorious worship had existed in the Trinity throughout all eternity. But worship is this pure expression of love. It's saying something is worth a lot to you. It's saying that you really appreciate someone or something. And that's why God made us, to have that relationship with us. So he didn't need us to worship him, but we were made in the image of God, and he wanted us to share in this beautiful, worshipful relationship. But mankind made a decision, which we read about in the first creation account, back in Genesis. We decided we wanted it to be all about us, not about God. You may or may not know that the devil was actually originally an angel. He's still an angel, but he's an angel who was thrown out of heaven because he wanted to be like God. He wanted to be God and to be worshipped. And the devil tricked mankind into disobeying God by saying to Eve, if you eat this apple, the only thing God had said that she couldn't eat, then you will be like God. So he uses that same trick on her. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And mankind, Adam and Eve, we fell for it. And sin entered the world through our disobedience, through our evil desires. The result of which was that in the same way the devil was cast out of heaven, we were cast out of the Garden of Eden and out of God's presence. It's no wonder that James 3:16 says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. The devil's envy of God and his selfish ambition to be worshipped, and our envy of God and our desire to have that same knowledge that he has, went on to lead to every single evil practice that we have and see in the world today. And we can see that just after one chapter, after Adam and Eve disobey God, Cain, their son, in Genesis 4, murders his brother because he was jealous of him. Rather than loving God, people decided to love themselves and to live to please themselves. And this wasn't what we were created to be like, but God had given us this free will, and mankind made this choice. People cut themselves off from God through sin. People angered God through the awful things that they did to one another and still do to one another. We all have this capacity to love others and to do good things because we were made in the image of God. But the problem is we've twisted that image beyond recognition through our selfishness. And so most of the time we go around looking for what we can get out of a situation or what will make us look good or how we can get more money and more things. And you can just look at some of the extreme examples that we've seen of this in the news about Black Friday, in Asda, where people were literally mauling each other and beating each other up just to get to the televisions first. And it's like completely lost their minds. But that's that mentality that, you know, I'm gonna get there first. And our sinfulness is why we find relationships so difficult. Relationships are meant to be about the other person, not about us. If you look at the Father and the Son, it was always about the other person. The Son always looked to glorify the Father, and then the Father was always looking to glorify his Son. That's an amazing relationship because it's about the other person, not about us. If you take marriage as an example, I promised to love and protect and honour and cherish my wife Izzy for better, for worse. I meant to put Izzy ahead of myself, put her needs ahead of my own, for better, for worse, or to put it another way, when I'm feeling bright and cheerful or when I'm tired and grumpy. But that's really, really hard. And I regularly fail at that. And there are often those times when I forget marriage is meant to be all about, you know, my wife, and I'm tempted to make it all about me and see what I can get out of it. We're all born into this world that's filled with the consequences of sin. And we see that most in relationships. It's full of broken relationships, hurting families, lonely children, war-torn nations, or just people just cheating and exploiting one another, or just trying to get one up on one another. We're born into this world that's out of relationship with God. And on our own, as people, we'd have no hope of knowing God or having a relationship with Him, and therefore no hope of heaven. And it's amazing how many people you talk to who have this vain hope of heaven and have little or no interest in God. This is the darkness that's mentioned in John 1. But it says in verse 4, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So what is this light? This light is the reason, it's the meaning of things, who created us, who sustains us, who was there from the beginning. The light is Jesus. And this light brings hope. Often people talk about a light at the end of a tunnel. And in John 1:9 it says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Jesus was the light at the end of the tunnel, the promise of the whole of the Old Testament. 1,400 years after the first books were written, the true light. And we read in John 1:14 that the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. Jesus became a man. Why was He the light? Because Jesus showed us that although we turned away from God, even though we were sinful, God still loved us and cared about us and was interested in every single one of us. And this is no ordinary love. He loves us with a love so intense that it just eclipses every single other power in the whole universe. This is the perfect love, the unconditional love of a father, a perfect father for his children. And not only did He show us this love, but He showed us that God had a plan to bring us out of darkness and into His light. This is God's mission, which we mentioned earlier, to bring people back to Himself so that we can be with Him for all eternity. John 3:16, famous verse, says, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but shall have eternal life. We often think about missionaries as people sent to a foreign country to tell people about God. And some of us think about missionaries as all Christians, all of us who believe in Jesus, who are called and then sent out by God into the world to tell people about Him. But the first missionary, I think, was Jesus. Jesus was the missionary God. He was sent from heaven to earth by His Father so that we could know Him. God Himself initiated His mission on earth by coming here in human form and revealing to us His plan to save the world. And that plan was shocking and heartbreaking. God loved us so intensely that He died for us. And at Christmas, we think about Jesus as a baby, but we can't forget what He came here to do. He came here to take our sins away. And He did that by confronting darkness and taking it upon Himself when He was nailed to the cross and when He died. And He defeated darkness once and for all when He rose from the grave 3 days later. Jesus, the light of the world, was born as a baby and lived on earth to die for you. Earlier we read John 3:16, which says, whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. We can choose to live our lives in darkness without God, or we can choose to receive the light, the true light, Jesus, and have eternal life in heaven. Not because we deserve it, but because Jesus died for us. John 1:10 says, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him." When Jesus came, many people didn't recognize him. They didn't realize who he was because people had turned so far from God. Today, many do not realize who Jesus is. They miss the whole point of life, that it's all about Jesus. But then God touches hearts, and he might even be touching hearts this morning, and he opens them to see him and to know him. And verse 12 says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And this really is God's incredible plan, that we can become his children through Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus, because he is the true hope and light for all mankind. And all we have to do is turn away from the darkness, turn away from our sin, and then put our faith in him, allowing his light to fill us. So our response to this Christmas, I think, can be one of two things. I think there might be people who've never put their faith in Jesus and want to receive that light into their hearts. And we're going to pray in a minute and allow that to happen, because all you have to do is put your faith in him and trust in him for everything. And then I think we've got to consider what our part is in this mission this Christmas. I think we've got to consider as a church how we really are going to spread this message to the whole world, and how we're going to play our part in that. Who we're going to let know about Jesus, who we're going to have love and compassion on and share his love with this Christmas. So let's just pray and give this to God. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you that you loved us so much, that you came down to earth to live among us, to share with us in our sufferings, and Lord, to die on the cross for us, to pay the price for all of our sins. And Lord Jesus, I want to commit to you this morning. I want to turn away from sin and darkness and follow you and trust in you with my whole life, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit and enable me to know you and to have a relationship with you that will last the rest of my life and beyond. And Father God, I pray that you will enable each one of us to play a part in your mission here on earth, your purposes for all people in all places, Lord, to see people with the love that you have for them. And Lord, to demonstrate that love and to tell them of the amazing way in which you have shown it to all people, of the amazing, glorious hope that we have in you, Lord Jesus. We pray for those opportunities to share. We pray for everyone who comes into this place this Christmas, that they would meet with the risen Lord Jesus. In his name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark.